What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. One of the most devastating experiences a parent can face is the death of a child. Missing the child never goes away. It feels completely unnatural for a child to die before his or her parents. The age of the child at the time of death does not lessen the pain or the devastation. Many grieving parents may question life and how they will survive the pain of the loss. For Judy Diller, her unhappy journey began in 2009 when her son, Charlie, 23, died of pneumonia. She talks about helping grieving parents cope with the unthinkable and talks about her book, Beyond Life, on 411 Teen this hour. Judy, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, looking forward to talking with you. Everyone copes with loss in different ways, dependent upon their culture or their belief system and family history and their relationship with the person who died. Everyone mourns differently. Grief can vary depending upon how the death occurred. Some causes of death may be more traumatic than others, such as an accident or a murder or beheadings or death during war, illness. A miscarriage may be less visible, however, no less traumatic. Coping with death or loss of a loved one is a process. Would you agree with that, Judy? Do you see it as being a process?
Yeah, it's a process. You know, your child's there one day and next he's not, and your life is changed forever and another chapter's open and you have to find what the path is for the new chapter.
And how did you do that? How did you find the pathway?
As we left the hospital after Charlie passed away, I stopped Doug, my husband, and I said, Doug, another chapter's open for us. And I said, we're not going to let this tear us apart. As, you know, some couples, a death of a child tears them apart. And I said, I'm going to do anything to not let that happen.
That's a very good point.
And so, you know, you go plan the funeral and you call the relatives. And we're from Illinois, and so Doug's family came from Texas. His sisters lived there, and one of my sisters came from Illinois. And you know, after the funeral, you always think, okay, now what next? Well, we cleaned out Charlie's room and kept items for my younger son, Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go from there, and you try to think, okay, you know, first you got to mourn. There's steps, you know, the mourning period, and that's mostly, you know, if you feel like crying, don't hold it back.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
Just cry until you can't cry anymore. And then I did some, you know, praying and some heavy thinking about, okay, my family's away, and I got to find what can help me. You know, I talked to my doctor, and he told me, Judy, find something that makes you laugh. You know, will let you go rent a comedy or something. Maybe even go back to your roots, you know, go back to your happy time in life. And so I started out watching comedies. You know, I put in a DVD, and then I would fall asleep, and that took me maybe, I took off from work. I just told him, you know, what happened, and I need time to myself. And that's another thing, you know, you have to take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you need to do to find your path and get your body back from the shock. You know, your body goes into shock. So, you know, I listened to my doctor, and he put me on Zoloft and anxiety medicine to help me cope.
Mm-hmm.
And I just mostly watch my DVDs for a while and do like he said, you know, you just got to rest your body. Sleep helps you through it. And then the dreams started up.
Okay.
And I'm like, Doug, I'm having these dreams about Charlie living in another realm connected to Earth. And I said, it's really strange. It's like I leave here and I'm there, and I go visit my mom and dad, and they're living on a farm. And I said, it's really unreal. I never met my grandma and grandpa at Terrasteggy, my dad's mom and dad. And I said, I go there and I talk to everybody. I said, it's really unreal. And then Bobby was listening, and I said, how can I keep track of all these dreams? And Bobby came home one day and said, here, Mommy, I bought you this journal for you to keep your dreams in.
So what I hear you saying is there are no, and you've touched on a number of things that we're going to get to, but there are no rigid guidelines that one must follow to get to a place of peace, so to speak. You know, everybody, you know, you do it in a different way. Did your husband proceed in that same way?
No, Doug, you know, it's just like, well, life goes on. We're all going to miss him. You know, mm-hmm. We need to take care of us. We need to, you know, just continue with life. And I said, Doug, how can you do that? You don't even cry. And he says, Judy, somebody has to hold it together, and there's no way you can. You being the mother.
Now, there are several myths, and I would like to have you at least address some of these. There are many myths, really, that are associated with death. And I think one of them is that the grief will go away faster. I read this, if you ignore it, if you don't address it, that the grief will go away faster. How do you feel about that?
If you don't address it,
yeah. If you don't pay, yeah. I was one of the myths that if you don't pay any attention to it, you don't dwell on it, that it will go away faster.
Well, that seems like how Doug handled it. You know, to tell you the truth, you know, he just, you know, kind of ignored what went on, and he would go out for lengths of time across the street, out in the woods, and just, you know, have one with nature, as you would say, and went out there and trimmed trees out in the woods, and, you know, just had quiet time himself. And his mother was here and said, Judy, you think he's safe out there? I said, Leo, he's out there having time to himself. He handles his grief his way, and I'm handling grief my way.
Exactly, and that's the point, I think. You touched on something a little earlier when you were talking about how you cried and cried and cried. But you mentioned that your husband didn't seem to do a lot of crying. And I think, again, that illustrates that it's an individual process. The process may vary and be different depending on the individual, but everybody does not have to cry to feel that grief. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. There's, you know, a lot of Bobby, he cried right away. You know, they told us Charlie didn't make it, and the tears, he just turned ghostly white. And I thought, oh, God, somebody stand behind him because I think he's going to pass out. He's like 12 years old at the time, and the tears just cascaded down his face. And then from then on, he just handled his grief, too, just like Doug. You know, life goes on. I'm going to miss Charlie. And, you know, Charlie had seizures, and Bobby would find him. You know, and he yelled, Mom, Charlie's having a seizure. He says, Mom, Charlie's at a good place. He has no more seizures. He's at peace, and our life goes on. And I said, yeah. So Bobby handled his grief the same way with, you know, same as Doug, you know, Bobby and Doug did a lot of talking together. You know, I wasn't in the room, and, you know, I would catch them talking, and I'd come in, and they stopped talking. I said, okay, they're handling it in their way.
You know, do you think it's important to be strong? So often you hear it's important to be strong, but is it really important to be strong? Maybe being strong is not where you are at. What do you think about that?
I was strong during the funeral because Doug's mom took it real hard, you know, losing her first, you know, a grandchild. And so I just said, okay, I got to suck it up, you know. And I hugged her during the service and made sure she was okay. I thought, you know, this is Charlie's only really grandma that he knew. My mom passed away while I was pregnant with Bobby.
Oh, I see.
And so I just sat there and hugged her during the whole service, and then afterwards, you know, after everybody left, I thought, okay, like I can be strong, but I also got to leave out my grief, you know, my crying and stuff. And it got to the point, my family really didn't say anything, but I would call them up and I'd start crying. And then they, you know, well, I got to go do something. And I thought, you know, I need to find a way on my own to cope. And I heard Charlie say, Mom, take the journal and write a book.
Well, we're going to get to that, because I think that, that writing that book and having a journal may be very therapeutic. But before I got there, I wanted to look at grief and mourning.
Okay.
You know, mourning is defined by one's culture, as opposed to grief is the normal response to a loss. It's the emotional pain that one experiences when something or someone you love is taken away. Grief is highly individual experience, and it's personal, based on a number of different things, based on coping style, based on spirituality and religious faith, based on the nature of the loss. Do you feel that there is a specific timetable for grieving? Because really, a lot of times you feel like folks will say, oh, well, it's been about a year, you should be finished. But how do you feel about that normal timetable, I guess, of grieving?
There's no normal timetable. It depends, like you said, on your faith. I go back to my dad and I had a really close relationship. And he passed away on my 17th birthday. And before that, I was like eight or nine years old. His aunt started passing away. And I pulled Dad aside once, and I said, Dad, what happens when you die? And he says, you have faith that you go back to the time that you're the happiest in life. When you die, you go to back to where you were happiest. And I go back and... Doug's Methodist, so I'm Catholic, so I go back in my Catholic faith and go back to all the stuff that I was taught, you know, my Catholic religion classes, and I would go to the pastor and talk to him.
Judy, hold your thoughts for 1 minute. We're going to take a 60-second break, and we'll get back to you and your sharing of dealing with grieving and parents coping with the unthinkable. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I'm talking with Judy Diller. She's talking about helping grieving parents cope with the unthinkable, the loss of a child. Although grieving is a highly individualized experience, there are some common symptoms of grief. Feeling like you're going crazy, questioning your religious belief, feeling like it's a bad dream. And now, Judy, you were saying that you went to your religion, Catholicism, and that is what seemed to help you through some of the difficult times?
Yeah, I just, you know, thought about my Catholic faith and all the messages I, you know, received growing up through the priests and stuff, but, you know, having the message of hope. Going back to my roots and thinking about my family history, I had other families that lost a child, and I tell myself, yeah, it was so much harder back in the 1900s and stuff, all the kids being, you know, miscarried and kids dying of different diseases, and I think back, my grandma did it. I can do it.
I
have to find my way out, you know. She found her way how to cope, and I'm going to find that way, too. You know, it's in my genes. I got to think about how maybe she handled, you know, losing a child. My mom lost her first child. My mother-in-law lost her first child, and I'm like, these are strong women. It's in my genes. I can do this. I just got to find my path, look back on my faith, you know, have a much richer life. Charlie wouldn't want me to... just give up hope. I'm going to find my hope. I'm going to find my way, you know, Mm-hmm. When you have a life crisis, you just try to, you know, okay, pray to God and, okay, show me my path. I need to find my new path in life.
And Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she was a thanatologist, studied death and dying, and she introduced, like, five stages of grief or death and dying, and they were denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Did you experience any of these or all of these?
I would say I experienced every one of them.
Okay.
And I'm not quite, I accept that Charlie's gone,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, it's hard. You still wake up and think, okay, where's Charlie? But I don't do that as often. You know, there's still what you say, that PCU is missing.
Right.
And it'll always be there. You just, you know, find your way to cope. And, okay, Charlie was really, he had like his crisis in life, you know, like bullying and stuff. You know, we'll mm-hmm. talk about that too, I'm sure later. And self-image and all that. And I'm like, well, okay, I'm going to try to find my way to cope. And I talk, you know, did a lot of talking to my doctor. I took Bobby once or twice to church and, you know, we would talk. And
so talking seemed like it was really very therapeutic. And I know often you say that Charlie has passed away, but he's not gone. What do you mean by that?
I can feel his presence, you know, when I, you know, had little of my little struggles in life, and I could feel him saying, come on, Mom, get up, you're strong, you know, stuff like that, you know. You got to carry on with life, and you can't give up. There's people out there that need you, and I plan on writing 5 books.
Well, and you seem to have reached peace, some degree of peace with the death of Charlie. How did you get there?
A lot of crying.
You know, for those parents who may be listening, you know, who may, you know, be experiencing this very same thing, how did you get there? Because the way you got there, you may be able to share some strategy or something that will help them.
Well, first I thought, you know, after the loss of a loved one, you must take care of you. And
indeed.
I was talking to a coworker, and she lost her son to that PTSD,
mm-hmm.
you know, the suicide that's going through the military.
Right. Yes.
And I was, how did you cope, Judy? And I said, well, I kept that journal, and I could write down things in there that I wouldn't say to anybody, you know, besides myself, you know. You write down your thoughts and your emotions and your wishes and... No, nobody needs to read it. You just keep it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, find your outlet in life. You know, go back to your roots. And you speak to others who lost someone. You know, Tammy and I have been talking through Facebook and through work. And, you know, people that go to a counselor and you know, grief support. I think Tammy's taking up about the suicides and stuff. You know, that's going to be mm-hmm. her path in life. And that was her only child, and I'm, you know, so heartbroken about her. And I told the other coworkers, I wish I could do more, say more, and, you know, we just, you know, talk about how one can handle mm-hmm. yourself, you know, after the death. And you just have to find your way to cope, you know, for you.
So it sounds...
Mine.
I was going to say, it sounds like the journal was very therapeutic for you.
Mm-hmm. I found mine in writing, and she's mm-hmm. going to go and, you know, work with the group about suicide, and I'm sure some other things. And she took in a foster. She's fostering kittens.
Oh, really?
And, you know, her son was really into, you know, animals and jet skiing, and his favorite friends are all pulling, you know, in and doing fundraisers and stuff and doing a foundation in her son's name. And so,
okay.
you know, all his military buddies, you know, are pulling in with her and doing these walks and stuff. And My way is taking proceeds from my book sales and donating to her cause.
Okay. Well, since Charlie's death in 2009, you have reported extraordinary dreams about Charlie, in which you say, you know, he communicates with you. Can you share or elaborate a little bit more on this? Because I guess these dreams and the communication is what prompted you to write the book Beyond Life, right?
Yeah, it's you know, spiritual, or people call it paranormal, and I had paranormal experiences, you know, earlier in life, and Charlie and I both believed in the paranormal, and it was our thing to, you know, watch and do. You know, I at home educated him. I would get him some homeschooling books about paranormal, and he, you know, Mom, I have, my nephew died in a freak accident, and Charlie said, Mom, I can visualize Johnny sitting on my bed, and he's sad, and he's crying. And I said, Charlie, I see Johnny, you know, he couldn't cope. He was still grieving. You know, I see the people that pass away, you know, like children unexpectedly, that they have a time of grief, too, and that's when they come to you in your dreams.
I see.
And, you know, Charlie was talking to me about, you know, well, I passed on, and you need to find your outlet, and I'm going to talk you through it. You know, I would have dreams, and we would talk about, you know, grief and how I was doing. And, you know, like I said, I could talk to my mom and...
Were there unresolved issues in Charlie's life that writing this helped you to kind of sort out?
Yeah, I could... I didn't finish getting to him about, you know, bullying and stuff, you know, talking to him more about that. And then when he passed away, I thought, you know, I need to find a way to help other kids cope with bullying and finding a mentor in life. And if you're getting bullied, you know, find another child being bullied, and, you know, a pair could do anything together that one single person can't. And now there's all sorts of support groups, and, you know, I think the government even has a bullying, stopbullying.org. And I just felt like write this book to cover all these issues that Charlie had in life, and I just feel like that's what he would want me to do.
Well, will you share again the name of your book and where one can... get it. Where they can purchase it.
It's Beyond Life, and you can go to Amazon.com, type in Beyond Life Diller, D-I-L-L-E-R.
Okay. For the listening audience that, you know, may want to, you know, further read your book and what you have had to say. Death is very difficult for some people to even cope with or wrap their arms around, so to speak. Why do you think we have such a difficult time dealing with death? I mean, it's inevitable. It is a part of life. Of course, with a child, it's a little bit different there because you don't expect to, as a parent, to bury them. That's not the normal course of things. It should be reversed. But it does happen.
Yeah, because you know, I'm 53 years old. I you know, grew up in Catholic faith, went to Catholic high school, got married, had Charlie, had Bobby. I feel like I had a full life, where as a child, you know, like my mom had a stillborn, and, you know, he didn't even get a chance at life. And Charlie, I felt like, I always told him, I said, Charlie, you are so smart. You could do anything in life. He didn't get to do it. And I just feel like that with every child that dies young. They had so much to give to to life. And if a parent can figure out, okay, my child would be this, well, then you do it for your child.
Ah, okay.
So, you know, if, like, your child was going to, set up some kind of, outreach program, you know, like your child was going to, you know, like Tammy did, he loved kittens, mm-hmm. so she fosters kittens now. Or if your child loved to volunteer, well, you know, like Bobby was little, he would go and help the neighbor while he was gone on vacation and go feed his animals. You know, and Charlie, he loved to read. And so, you know, Doug and I try to donate, you know, money to libraries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a lot to give. And computer science, we're wanting to set up a foundation and give, like, so much money to a person that's going to be going into that field.
Now, when Charlie died, you still had one other child. And you said he was 12 when Charlie died?
Yes.
How did he cope with that? I mean, what kinds of things, how did you try to help him through the process? What kinds of things did you share with him as far as strategies in coping?
We just mainly band together. And since I was home educating him, you know, we sit together and we, you know, talk and do our lessons. And we made sure we got out of the house every day. And mm-hmm. if just driving around, you know, sightseeing or go to a park and walk around and, you know, go and, you know, sit in the swing. And we go to movies and, you know, just go around and just, you have to get out of the house. It's such a relief, you know. You feel like you're isolated, you know, after a death. And once, you know, everybody goes back to work, you know, Doug took off for a little while, and I said, Doug, I'm okay. You need to go back to work. It just doesn't feel right, you being here. You know, I'm mm-hmm. worried about you may lose your job. I got this. You need to go.
Excuse me for interrupting, but one point what I hear you saying is you try to keep a normal routine, and your husband, Doug, being home was not normal, and it didn't feel normal, is what I hear you saying.
That's right. You know, I said, you know, I took off time. I forget how much time I took off from work, maybe a month, just to, like, doctor told me to watch DVDs and mm-hmm. and to sleep and do my grieving. And when once I got to that point, and I'm seeing Doug at home, Doug, you got to get out of here. This is, you know, like you said, it isn't normal. And Bobby and I got this. We'll figure out, you know, our schedule. You know, that's a normal way in life and our normal schedule. And we just got out and enjoy time together.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby and I did.
What about Charlie's friends? What role, if any, did they play?
Well, Charlie's friend came to his funeral and gave me a hug, and I can't believe this happened. I said, I can't either. And one of his friends went into the military. I'm like, I can't figure out how to get hold of Kevin. And of all things, Facebook.
Right. Yeah.
Facebook. And I said, Kevin, he was in Afghanistan when Charlie passed away. And I said, Kevin, I got something to tell you. And he said, this is so unbelievable. And it was like 3 months later, he finally sent me a message back in Facebook. He says, Mrs. Diller, I'm so sorry I haven't gotten back to you, but that Charlie's death hit me so bad. All I can do is lay in bed and cry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
After being, you know, here's a military guy. He's been in Afghanistan for three tours and, you know, and he said it's just hard for him to handle because they knew each other since kindergarten. Well, way before kindergarten, they knew each other since they were a year old.
Well, one of the things you mentioned earlier is often with the major death like that in the family, you may see breakdown within the family. The marriage may become unstable. How do you all avoid that?
we just mainly got, you know, kind of like glued ourselves together, and Doug and I would talk about Charlie and the happy times, and I start crying, and he hugged me, and I said, you know, we just can't not talk about Charlie. You got to talk about your child and the happy times and the happy memories. And Bobby would come in and listen to us and get a sad on his face, and he'd walk away, and I'm like, Doug, should I go after him? No, he's fine. Bobby and I talked. He's a handle.
So I also, excuse me, but I also hear you saying give each one, each family member, their own space, too.
Yeah, yeah, you have to have your, you know, I want to talk more to Bobby and Doug. No, he's handled it. Doug and Bobby were real close. You know, I was kidding around with Charlie and Bobby. It's like, Charlie, you're like a mama's boy, and Bobby's, you know, spend a lot of time with Doug. And Charlie said, yeah, I noticed that, too. And I guess that's why Charlie's death hit me so hard. You know, we were so close, and Bobby's more into, you know, what Doug was only into, you know, electronics and these gadgets and stuff, and Bobby would sit, and they'd get kits and put all these electronic things together. And they're, you know, and working on computers and stuff. And then that's what Bobby, one day, you know, he'd gotten to, my birthday was coming up, and Bobby kept leaving the living room. I'm like, what did I do to him? And then I found out they were upstairs billing me a computer in Charlie's room.
Oh, wow. Well, hold your thoughts. We're going to take a brief break. We'll continue this discussion on coping with the unthinkable, the death of a child, and talking with Judy Diller after the break. Parents may experience marked marital stress in response to the death of a child. Anger, guilt, and various physical symptoms are exacerbated during this period. Previous marital issues, which were present prior to the child's death, may reemerge. All of this is normal and a part of the grieving process. Judy, would you elaborate on that and the fact that this is normal? I mean, it's normal to feel like you want to scream. It's normal, you know, to feel lost. It's normal to be irritable. And I think that individuals need to understand that whatever they experience, however they handle it, you know, that is their own personal choice.
Yeah, grief is a personal issue after losing a child. One person would, the grief would hit them in a certain way. For another person, it would hit them in a different way. It's different for every person. Some, you know, okay, I accept it, you know. My child was here, and now they're not.
Right.
And I listened to Delilah, you know, on the radio. That was one of the shows Charlie just loved. I even wrote her a message on Facebook. And she lost one of her little sons, and she'll mention him, you know. She just seems like, you know, he was here, and I had a part of him for a short time. Life goes on, and, you know, she grieves in her way. Everybody grieves in their way. Sometimes it gets overwhelming, and you have to find a greater way to, you know, like through counseling or some people. Well, I have a friend on Facebook. Her 19-year-old daughter passed away last year, and Maxine, I met her through a grief support group on Facebook. And she came on and she said, well, one of my friends, she committed suicide. She couldn't handle the grief of losing her only daughter.
Only child.
It just breaks me apart. You know, people just, you know, I can't say give up hope, but can't find their path. And you know, if you have a problem And if you can't handle, you know, you have to go and seek help.
Help.
You
That's
have to
true.
Admit that, yes, you need help coping with your child. So you have to go and seek the help.
Well, anger is a common emotion in grief. Did you experience anger? And if you did, how did you address it?
I was angry, like I said before. I wish I would have done more about, you know, bullying and stuff. But I felt like I just had... Everything was just closing up in that school. I had Charlie, and there was no... the principal didn't listen to me. You know, everything was right with him. Boys will be boys. And I just angry that I wish I could have got to him, you know, about this is, yes, it is a problem in life. And it's not right to say boys will be boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I just angry that I couldn't do more about it. And that's why I kind of like took the book route.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an issue, just like grief is an issue. Bullying is an issue. Suicide's an issue now. And we just need to find how we can help each other. You know, not just say, well, that's that person's problem.
Not be dismissive of it and just kind of, you know, wash it away. Well, that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not my problem, you know.
Right, right. Exactly.
I want to help.
Uh-huh. What
and
about...
That's what...
No, go right ahead. I was just going to ask you, what about physical symptoms? I mean, when I say physical symptoms, I'm thinking, you know, some people can't sleep. Some people sleep all the time. Some people may drink. Some people, you know, handle, again, it differently. Did you experience any physical issues in response to the death of Charlie?
Well, my physical issues was, you know, like anxiety. I would have anxiety attacks. My heart would start racing, and I'm like walking around in circles. You know, constantly walking in the house and things like that. And so I tried to call my doctor. Ever since he found Charlie passed away, he was trying to call me, but our phone system wasn't working. And so when my sister got here the next day after Charlie passed away, I said, you know, I'm going to call Dr. Bishop. He said, what is with your phone? I've been trying to call you. Mm-hmm. I'm so worried about you that I'm going to help you in any way I can. And I'm like, this guy is amazing. You know, and then I just broke loose and told him how I felt. And he listened and... You know, gave me his advice about, you know, watching the DVDs, getting back in, you know, thinking about, you know, mom and dad and the history of our family and how tough, you know, they had to be in the 1900s, 1800s to cope. And I'm like, it's in my genes. I can, you know, I can do this. And, you know, mom, after she lost her baby, she wouldn't want to hold him or anything. And Dad sat in the rocker and rocked him for a while, and he said, you know, Mom just couldn't, you know, I talked to Dad about him, you know, the lost child, too, and he said, Mom handled her grief in her way, and I knew I had to be the strong one, so I held our son, I rocked our son, I planned the funeral, invited people, and Mom wanted her part, you know, she didn't want to see him. She didn't want to attend the funeral. He said that's how Mom handled her grief.
That's how she handled it. When does you mentioned that you were on Zoloft, so you had some medication, antidepressant medication. When does one know to seek professional help? Can you share some things with the listening audience that may clue them into, well, maybe I need to pursue this. You know, the religion isn't helping. being busy, going back to work, being involved, I'm still overwhelmed. When do they go? When do they see this professional help? In your opinion, what would you say?
Well, like I said, I was having, you know, when Charlie was in middle school, I was having a problem with blood pressure. And I had it ever since I, you know, was praying with Bobby. And I'm like, okay, now my heart's racing. I got to go talk to Dr. Bishop, you know. And you just have to admit that, yes, you got a problem. And, like, you don't have to be a doctor. Maybe, you know, you could pull aside a friend and talk to them. Mm-hmm. But you have to admit that you do have a problem. And, you know, then some people have the issue about, well, I wish I was with my child. And that's when the big thing is, when you start having those thoughts, you know, that's when you stop and admit, no, they wouldn't want me to do that. I need to get help.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference between grief and depression. Would you, can you elaborate when you compare the two, with grief and depression, to a point where the depression may need some intervention? I mean, because of course with grief there's going to be some degree of depression. But when does that depression become a problem?
When you can no longer cope. You just want to sit around and do nothing. You want to sit around and not even look out the window. Or you can't even sit, you know, get up and make your child a meal.
Okay.
And grief, you know, is crying, but you still carry on almost a normal life. And depression is when you have those dark thoughts, the darkness takes over.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't carry on with a sort of a normal life, you know, a routine like getting up and doing the laundry and cooking a meal and planning your day. Depression is you have no wish to do anything. You don't want to talk to anybody. You don't want to see anybody. You don't even want to look at the TV set. You just, you know, it's just all darkness and dimness. And then you have those thoughts of helplessness come up.
Well, often decision-making is impacted by the death of one's child. You know, you start reexamining priorities. You start questioning one's belief structure. This is all normal, too. What comments do you have concerning this decision-making and keeping it sound and stable?
That's another thing. You know, people will go out and try to make yourself happy, and well, I can afford to take this big trip. You know, you have to think about what's your priorities, and, you know, well, this makes me happy. I'm going to go out and buy me a new car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just being over extravagant, and instead of going out and just having a nice good walk and out. The old doctor told me, Judy, you got to get out every day, 30 minutes out in the sun. I want you to go do that. Okay, so Doug went out and just this year and put me in a nice pool. So, you know, that's, you know, it's just got to be, you got to live within your means. And then when you lose somebody, you know, especially a child, sometimes you get carried away in life and you overspend, and then you get yourself in financial debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you experience any sleep or appetite disturbances?
Oh, I got to the point I couldn't even look at food. So when I asked Doug to please go back to work for I could feel normal again, he made me up food. I could just stick it in the microwave. He, like, just close my eyes, grab it out of the refrigerator, pop it in the microwave, eat it up. And I just stood there and I thought, I got to do this for Charlie. I got to do this for Charlie. I got to eat. I got to do this for Charlie. I got to do this for Bobby. You know, people depend on you, even though you don't think. But, you know, people depend on you. You got to get back to your normal, even if it's a new normal. And so that's how I lived off of chili for like 2 weeks until I can stomach food again and, you know, sleep. oh gosh, it was like you could sleep an hour some days, and then you wake up. I woke up once and I said, Doug, where's Charlie? He had the saddest look on my on his face, and I said, oh, never mind. I went back to sleep, and he says, later that day, he says, I just thought maybe that you just about ready to mentally lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm stronger than that, Doug. He said, I realize that now. You know, after I lost Mommy while I was pregnant with Bobby, he says, you know, I'm worried about your mom's going to pass away and you're going to fall apart. And I said, Doug, I'm stronger than that.
And you are.
And Charlie always said to me and said, Mom, you're the strongest person that I know.
In these last few minutes, would you again share the title of your book and where one can purchase it?
It's Beyond Life, and you can go to Amazon.com, type in Beyond Life, Diller, D-I-L-L-E-R, and the Kindle and the paperback will come up.
Okay. In the closing minutes, we talked about how important it is and to go through the process. Does the process ever end? Or is it ongoing? Where are you now? I guess it's been, what, 5 years?
Well, there's days that there's something that happens, like you can read. I can tell Doug on, like, online, you know, like, well, I work from home, so I have to get on, like, Facebook, and you see things on the news, and it's just like you're reliving the past. You know, somebody lost a child in an accident that we even knew back in Illinois, and I'm like, Doug, can you just imagine what that family's going through, like we went through? And he says, I don't even want to think about it. I says, I don't either, but I'm going to get on there and send the person a message, you know, of hope and faith and finding their path. And then if you need to talk, I'm here. It just, you know, every day somebody's losing somebody, you know,
exactly.
A child. You got the military families, you know, losing loved ones in the war.
Oh, yeah. And these beheadings are, you know, in the forefront right now.
That's why I told Doug, I said, did you, he says, yeah, I see. And I say, can you imagine what that poor family is going through?
Mm-hmm.
We were there with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And they see it on the news. I can't even imagine. I said, I just love to reach out to people and tell them how, you know, try to help them with their grief through my grief.
Mm-hmm.
That's another how people could do, parents could do, help other families through their grief with your grief. When Dad died, our neighbor lady, she lost her husband about a month before, and then our, you know, Dad passed away, and so Mama had the neighbor lady come over, and we all sat in the living room and we talked. You know, she's telling us how she got a new routine. You know, she's by herself now, and it just helped. It helped Mom. It helped all those kids, and just getting together and you know, getting your own little support group together.
Yeah. So support from folks who have been where you are. Support from folks who can understand exactly what you are experiencing. Is what I hear you saying. It's very helpful.
It helps a lot because they do know what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
They've been there. They're still going through. It's been 5 years from us, and there, you know, I got a cousin. It's been 28 years. I actually took Charlie to his funeral. He was killed in a car wreck, and I met with them last summer after the book was out, and gave them a book, and I said, I actually brought Charlie to Doug's wedding. And I sat there by my uncle Louie. And I said, I can still, to this day, see being in that church and holding Charlie. And now Charlie's, you know, gone. And her sister told me before that after 28 years, they're still having a hard time, you know, coping.
Well, in this last minute, do you have any closing words of wisdom that you wish to share with the listening audience?
You know, Charlie's death left a big void in my life and all our life. And you have to have faith in yourself. You have to carry on. You have to find the new norm for you. You have to take care of you. But also talk to each other. Share your feelings. And if you feel like you need help, find somebody to talk to. Find a support group.
Listen, I've got to cut it. I appreciate you have shared so much with us. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.